Well, good morning. Thank you for the lovely service, the wonderful praise worship, and the baptisms. We're just enjoying our time in the house of God this morning. I just want to add my word of thanks to Forward Baptist Church family for thinking of us and praying for us, and you support us. You support missions as a church family, so thank you for all your kind giving, and may God bless you. I'm going to continue to share with you a little this morning, realizing the time has kind of going on. But listen, we're pretty relaxed in our church in Berlin, so if anyone here needs to get up and move around or go out and come back in, that happens all the time in our missions church. So just feel relaxed, and we'll just speed things up a little here with the sermon. Yeah, I was trying to think of what a picture of missions would be. Would missions be like a hockey game? Could that be it? Maybe you're not a very good player, like you're a slow skater and you can't stick handle very well, but if you stick with it and don't give up, sooner or later you may score a goal and your team may even win a game. And missions is like that. We've been around for a while, but if you stick with it, it's like I think God has pity on you and you see some blessings. Maybe there's something in the Bible about that. In due season we shall reap if we faint not, if we don't give up. Now, this last term of missionary service in Berlin, Germany, we had some trials, but we also saw many blessings. We saw a number of conversions to Christ and baptisms, and those aren't just numbers, but it was like this morning, it was really a wonderful baptismal service. Real people who became Christians and were courageous enough to profess that faith in baptism. So we saw a lot of blessings our last term of service and the working of God's Spirit, and I think that's also the result of people praying for us. So thank you for praying. So I think that missions is working. We know it's the plan of God, but missions is working. We partner with churches here and we work with German Christians over there, and we've seen spiritual fruit. We have new Christians in our church in Berlin, Germany, and that's exciting. And even while we're gone now, the church is continuing on well without us. So that's a good sign. Praise the Lord, He's building His church. Well, we want to take a few minutes this morning and look at the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus has come to bring hope and to bring salvation into darkness and to a lost and dying world. And we as Christians and as missionaries think about how can we bring this message to the lost? How can we do that? When we first started out in missions, quite a few years ago, they were pretty strict, and they taught us separation. They didn't want us to be involved like in false teaching and doctrinal error, and that's not wrong. We don't want to do that. But we never really focused too much on how to reach the lost in Germany. I guess we kind of had to figure that out ourselves. So how would you do that? If you were me, put yourself in my shoes, if you had to go over to Germany, would you go there and get set up in Berlin and then maybe put out a sign and say, we're open, and you can come in and we'll tell you the word? Or would you maybe go downtown and pass out flyers and say, this is how to become a Christian? Or how about a team coming over to help you? We had praise worship and gospel groups come over, and what a great door opener. People will come to a gospel concert who normally wouldn't come to church. And so you can reach people through music. Or how about a program for the poor? Sometimes we have a community dinner, and then at the end, you stand up and maybe give a talk, how to become a Christian. Is that it? Those are some ideas, and I consider myself a learner. Unfortunately, I'm a slow learner, but I try and learn from other churches that we visit, also a church like Forward, how we can reach out to the community, to the lost, to people in darkness with the good news, with the gospel. Because the Lord Jesus has given us this task, this great commission. We don't want to be like the disciples who fished all night and caught nothing. That could be discouraging. And then when you think about Germany, very modern country, a secular country, and you can go there as a missionary with the best intentions and try and reach the people and suffer indifference and be rejected and get turned down, and you can lose heart. I know I lost heart a few times. So what do you do if you get stuck? If you're really stuck? Remember that little bracelet that we would give to children? It would say, WWJD. What would Jesus do? I mean, when Jesus was on the earth, there were like throngs of people that followed him, and great crowds came to Jesus. How did he reach the lost? Well, this morning we heard a text of scripture from Luke chapter 4. It was read already, but I especially wanted to focus on verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Well, I have 3 points about this sermon. And the first point is, if we look at the example of Jesus, you need the right target group. In Luke chapter 4, it says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. And in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And so the Spirit of the Lord was anointing Jesus, was empowering him, was leading him, or was a confirmation that he was to go to this group of people. And then there's a list of the people that God is concerned about. It's good to read that in different translations. The poor, the brokenhearted, says in the New King James, the captives or the prisoners, the blind, the oppressed. And if you keep reading in the New Testament, we know that Jesus went to other outcasts, Samaritans, lepers, prostitutes. It's pretty amazing. And you could look at that group of people and ask the question, are you sure, Jesus? Are you sure? Do you want us to go to this group of people? It's like they have a lot of problems. In counseling, we would call these type of people high maintenance. Seems like they always have a crisis, and sometimes they give you their word and they don't follow up on it, or they borrow money and they don't pay it back. They always need lots of help. And so you could say, Jesus, wouldn't it be easier to go to people who kind of like have their life together? I would be less trouble, more successful, and they could give a lot more for the kingdom. Jesus gave us an answer to that question in the very next chapter, Luke chapter 5 and verse 31. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. So when the people complained that Jesus went to these tax collectors, corrupt tax collectors and sinners, he said the healthy don't need a doctor, but those who are sick and have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The righteous, the self-righteous, the proud, they feel like they don't need God. But the sinners, they see their need for repentance. Repentance is another word for change. They say, my life is messed up. I don't have it all together. It's become unmanageable. I need help. I need change. They're ready to call out to God. And so what I think Jesus is saying here is that these type of people tend to be more open to the gospel. And as a missionary, maybe I can share a little testimony with you in the time that we have. We had a house in Berlin, and we lived there for a number of years, and I had good neighbors. I think of the people that lived to the right of me. He was very friendly. He talked to me over the fence, or in the backyard or in the street, maybe about soccer. But come to think of it, he never really invited me into his home. But it was a really nice family. They both had good jobs. They were successful, nice cars, took good vacations. I think they were kind of proud of what they had reached in life. And if I were to invite him to my church, I'd have to wait a long time before he came. Now let me give you another example. We're out there in Berlin on a city square, and we were doing this T-bus ministry, some public ministry, and along comes this man, his name is Rene, and his life is all messed up. He grew up in an orphanage, which was a nightmare, and he's living on welfare, he's got health problems, but he's smiling. I think he only had one tooth, but he's smiling. And he comes up to us and he starts talking to us. And he says, come on over to my apartment. It's just around the corner. So we go over to his apartment. Now keep in mind, my neighbor who was doing so well never invited me into his home. And I go to Renee's apartment and he throws the door wide open and he says, come on in. I only know him like 15 minutes. And so we go into his apartment and the place is a dump. And I've told him that. I said, Renee, you've got to get your place cleaned up. It's all full of electronic junk. Even in the kitchen, you open the drawer and it's full of screws and wires. There's no knives and forks. There's just all this electronic junk. He was pretty different. But he started coming out to our church and he opened up to God and he got saved. He became a Christian. And then he said, I only have one wish. What's your wish, Renee? I want to be baptized. It was his wish. And so we had a baptismal service like this morning. And I don't want to smooth things over. He still has a lot of problems in his life, but God is changing him, bringing light and hope into his life. Praise the Lord. But he's one of those people on this list in Luke chapter 4. Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. And you could continue in that list in Luke chapter 4. The poor are mentioned. We shared with you in our report how God opened a door at the food bank. It's a little different than a church food bank. It was a large community food bank where about 200 people come each week. And we were there just to help. And we didn't get to know everybody, but we got to know a few people and some friendships developed. And then they would come over to our community dinner. And through that, some of them became Christians. It's just like when you're down that low, you don't have anything to lose. And they're just more open to God and to the gospel. But that list in Luke chapter 4 is not exhaustive. It keeps going. And I think of some of the other doors that God opened at the food bank. We have a city shelter near our church in Berlin. Some of the residents there will come out to church. A low-income housing complex. A lady in our church who goes and works with the refugees and does homework with the children. In fact, if you start going to the same type of people that Jesus went to and reach out to them, God opens so many doors that you don't have time to go through them all. It was time for us to quit and or to take a break and come home for furlough. So if we want to reach the lost with the message of hope and salvation, then we need to go to the people Jesus went to. We need the right target group. The second point, we need the right target group and we need the right message. It says in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel. Jesus is an example to us. What did Jesus do? It says in verse 18, He preached the gospel. Jesus knew that the gospel was the answer to man's greatest need. They need the gospel. They need the good news. Because we see so much bad news in the world, and because we see, when we make it personal, so much bad news in our own life. The gospel is good news because it means if you've messed up, if you've broken God's commandments, if you've done things in the past that you regret, you say, that's bothering me. I wish I could change that, but we know we can't change the past. But the good news means that you can be forgiven, and the slate can be wiped clean and you can start a new life in Christ. And that's the gospel. The gospel is good news. I know that I needed good news in my life. I grew up in Northern Ontario, unfortunately, in a dysfunctional family. My dad had a drinking problem, and when he drank, he could get violent, and as a result, the marriage of my parents was, to use a German word, kaputt, which was no fun. And as a young man, I was going down the same road, playing hockey, drinking, and brawling. I ended up down in Florida, and I was messing around down in Florida in with the wrong crowd. Probably would have ended up in jail. But I ended up going to a rescue mission in Florida. And the people there took us in and shared with us the love of God, that Jesus loves us even the way I am, and Jesus made this incredible sacrifice for us on the cross, and that He rose again from the dead, and He wants to save us. And there I became a Christian. So the gospel was good news. It changed my life. And I've been sharing some testimony how the good news, the gospel, is changing lives today. I shared about one man who got saved, her last term of service, Renee, and at his baptismal in 2012, two others were also baptized that day. A lady named Yanika, she came into our church. Her life was kind of messed up. Different children from different fathers involved in all these relationships. She needed good news. She accepted the gospel and became a Christian. And then one other man was baptized that day. His name was Frank. He came into our church, and he's a musician, guitar under his arm. He likes to play this guitar in the city and ask for money. And he would often talk to me, and he knew I was from Canada, and he just thought, like, well, that's the same as America. So he would ask me, oh, I have this dream of going to Nashville and playing the guitar. Do you know anyone in Nashville? He kept asking me that. I said, no, not really. Do you know anyone in Nashville? But he had a failed marriage, in debt, lost his license for drunk driving, was into Buddhism. He came into our church and accepted the gospel, the grace of God, became a Christian. He was baptized that day. And I would talk to him. I'd say, Frank, you're into Buddhism? And I know Buddha has some wise things, but do you understand? Jesus is the only way to God. Are you getting it? And he said, yes, I am. I believe Jesus the Almighty. He's the Savior. And so that day, I had the privilege to baptize Renee and Yanika and Frank. And I got to baptism. I got to baptize them. I was a bum. And you could look at that group of people that were baptized that day and say, what a bunch of losers. But the way I see it, by the grace of God, we're lucky losers. Our sins are forgiven. We're part of the family of God. We have hope. We're on our way to heaven. We have meaning for our life now. The gospel is good news. We accepted that gospel. So we need to keep preaching the right message, the good news. That's changing people's lives. One other testimony from our church in Berlin. A lady came into our church, and we got to know her. I won't say her name. But she came in, and she had these earrings on, and they were in the shape of babies. So I asked her the question. I said, what do those earrings mean? And she said, those are my babies. I said, what do you mean those are your babies? She said, I'm going to see them one day in heaven. And then she just shared with us how, as a young lady, she was involved in a relationship that didn't work out. And through that, she ended up having two abortions. And so how do you think she feels? She felt like a failure, like a total failure. In fact, she was very suicidal, and some Christians came along and started loving her and sharing with her the gospel, the good news, and talked to her and said, look, that abortion was wrong, or those abortions, but, say in brackets, you weren't the only one to have an abortion. But anyway, the love of God and the forgiveness of God was offered to her, and she accepted that. and experienced God's forgiveness and God's peace. And now she's a Christian. She's a wonderful lady and likes to help people in our church. And those are some testimonies how the gospel, how the good news changes people's lives and gives them hope and salvation. So if we want to reach the lost, we need the right target group to go to the same people Jesus went to. We need the right message, the good news. And the last point, we need the right attitude. This morning, in these few minutes, we're looking at the example of Christ. Now, if you go to the same type of people that Jesus went to, you may have trouble. You may get hit with a lot of problems. In fact, they even complained and had a bad attitude towards Jesus. Just one example of that from the scriptures in Luke chapter 19, in verse 1, it says, Jesus visited the home of Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector, and he was rich. So Jesus went into the home of a tax collector, someone who was corrupt. A lot of commentators feel that he even stayed overnight in that home. But it says in verse 7, if you skip down to verse 7, when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he's gone to be a guest with a man who's a sinner. So the people in that town saw Jesus go into this home of Zacchaeus, and they said, wait a minute, isn't that Zacchaeus, the guy who cheated us on our taxes? Isn't that the guy that works with the Romans, the dirty traitor? And they started to complain. It's just interesting about this passage that it wasn't the religious leaders, but it was all the people in the town that got upset with Jesus and started to complain and had a bad attitude. And all Jesus was trying to do was to bring hope and salvation to Zacchaeus. It's a story with a happy end because Zacchaeus does become a follower of Jesus. But if we're honest, sometimes we're like the people in that town. We start to complain about people we don't like or that we look down on or have prejudices against. Or sometimes when we see people with problems, we just conveniently make a detour around those people. You know, I'm not the missionary I wish I were. God has to work on my attitude. I was sharing with you about a man who became a Christian in our ministry last term, named Renee. And when he first came into our church, we didn't know how to take him. I mean, what do you think about a person who's gay and he comes into your church and he's all happy and likes to hug people? I remember we were planning a church retreat, and this guy was new in our church, and he comes up to me and he says, oh, I heard about your church retreat. I'd love to come to your church retreat. And I'm thinking, oh no, you know, a whole weekend with this guy, he's really strange. And while I'm having these negative thoughts, there was another man standing beside me who's in the leadership, and he says, Renee, you want to come to our church retreat? That's great. And we know you don't have any money, we'll even pay for you. And so he comes to our church retreat, and I found out it wasn't as bad as I thought. And he started to open up to God, and God is changing him. And at that retreat, we had some time. He said to me, let's take a drive. The home, the orphanage I was in is just around, just down the road. So we went there and we stopped, and we were talking in the car, and he said, that's where it happened. And I said, what happened? He said, I can tell you exactly when it happened. And then he shared with me how as an 11-year-old boy, he was abused in that home. And how they were mean to him. And when I listened to that, I had to swallow. I said, I'm sorry that happened. And then he said to me, if I had parents like you, I wouldn't be this way. He was gay. And I believed him. But then I realized God was changing Renee, but he was also changing me. That I need to learn to love and accept people who are different and who don't fit in without condoning the wrong behavior. Jesus sat together with the tax collectors. He sat right at that table with these sinners without condoning their dishonesty. And yet he was showing them the way of hope and salvation. So it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, the love of Christ compels us. And so I ask myself the question, the love of Christ is a high example. Do I have that love and that compassion in my heart? And so God's working on me. We had a lady come into our church. One of the ministries we have in Berlin is to people with addictions. So Elke came into our church, and I don't know how people do this, but they sometimes come to our meetings when they've been drinking, and you can smell that. So they've been drinking, but at least they come. So she came into our church, and she was confused. She would have trouble finishing her sentence. And then she would call us up at home and start talking about her problems. So I'd be talking to her on the phone, but she couldn't find her word. Then there'd be a long pause and an interval. And I'd get tired of talking to her, and I'd give the phone to Anna and say, "You talk to her today." But we found out this lady was not dumb. She'd studied math in college, and she had questions, and she had some good questions. And she started coming to our small group. And God started to work in her life, and she opened up to the gospel. And then we had a baptismal service, and this lady, Elke, came to the baptismal service and observed it. And so I talked with her afterwards, and I said, "Elke, you saw this baptismal service. I said, are you ready to profess your faith in Christ and be baptized?" And she said, "I'll never get baptized in a tank." But with a glimmer in her eye, she said, "Maybe in the lake." And you have to understand, there's nothing wrong with getting baptized in a tank. In fact, we believe that the very first Christians in Acts chapter 2 were baptized in those cleansing basins near the temple. But this lady, Elke, was a nature freak, and so she wanted to get baptized in the lake. And so we baptized her in the lake at Word of Life, and at her baptism, she was glowing. She was a new Christian. Well, why did that come about? It came about because some Christians had love and patience toward her. And I've shared with you this morning some testimony about our ministry in Berlin, which is a little different. I baptized two who had a drinking problem, a man who was gay. We have a lady in our church who had two abortions, and we could keep going with those testimonies. But one of the questions they have is, when I come into the church, will I be accepted, or will people look down on me? And so, if we want to reach people, if we want to reach the lost, we need the love and compassion of Christ. One last point in closing. One of the privileges of being a missionary is that when we come home on furlough, we get to go and speak in different churches. And pastors are often very gracious, and they will say, "There's the pulpit. Go ahead. Give it your best shot," whatever. So I try and preach whatever God's laid on my heart. And sometimes what I see in churches are churches who in the past had a good reputation for soul winning, which is an older term for helping people to come to saving faith in Christ, helping people to become Christians. But today they don't really have any more conversion stories to tell. And why is that? Because maybe we've moved away from the example and the words of Christ. And we get pretty busy with our church life, and we don't really have time for people like that. And I just want to challenge us again to bring us back to the example of Christ, who was called a friend of sinners. And he hung out with the sinners and had a good time with them and helped them to find a way of salvation. And so that's my challenge that I want to leave with us this morning. Jesus said, "The healthy don't need the doctor, but the sick." And the needy, and the lonely, and the hurting, and people with addictions. And I see a city like Toronto, and I see a whole city full of people like that. And so we need to look at the example of Christ and go to the people that Jesus went to with the gospel, with the good news, and to learn to love and accept them like he did. So we can learn from each other, but more importantly, we can learn from the example of Jesus to the praise and honor and glory of God. Amen. I'd just like to pray with you in closing. Lord, we just thank you for a good time in your house this morning, for praising and worshiping Jesus, being reminded of his great love for us, for his sacrifice on the cross for our sins, and his love for the lost, the friend of sinners. Lord, forgive us for our lack of love and often just going past people who maybe need our help. Lord, I pray you'll work renewal in our hearts, that we will see the needs of the people around us and reach out with the good news, the message of hope and salvation. Lord, I pray that you will use us. I pray that you will bless us and work renewal in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.